To be here, it is an honor and privilege to be up here and just be able to speak the word of God.
Amen.
If you hear a knocking, don't go to the door. It's my niece. Okay. But it reminded me of a story I heard one time. And you Bammers, you'll like this. I'm not an Alabama fan, but this kind of, you know, it's an Alabama story. Many of you remember Gene Stallings used to be the coach of Alabama. Okay. So what's that been over 20 years ago? All right, so he was at practice one day, and he was watching his kicker kick. So his kicker gets up there, and he starts kicking, and Stallings is right there watching him, and he's missing just about every field goal that he kicks. And so Stallings, you know, asked him, well, son, what's going on? He said, well, coach, he said, you make me nervous standing there watching. He said, well, he said, I hate to tell you, son, but I plan on being it every game. So, so, all right. So, well, what we're going to talk about today is commitment. You know, part of the reason why most of you are here today is because you are committed. But the title of the message today is, are you committed or just interested? Okay, so there is a difference. All right, so let's start off by talking about how you might define commitment. So commitment may be a state or quality of being dedicated to a cause or an engagement or an obligation that restricts freedom of action. Okay, so hang on to that, freedom of action. Okay, so that kind of takes away some of our control, right?
Right.
All right, so some of the things we as humans are committed to may be our marriages, yep, our family, our jobs, hobbies, friends, or ourselves. So when you think about the word commitment, sometimes you can think of it as being all in, mm-hmm, sold out, or bought in.
Amen.
So we show our commitment to our spouse or our friends or our families by doing what? By serving them. By loving them, just caring for them. We show up to our jobs. We're committed to our jobs, and we show that by showing up daily, right, and putting in hard work because we're dedicated.
Right.
If we don't put forth good effort when we show up to these jobs, there's a good chance that we won't get that reward, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We commit to our hobbies by investing our time, our money, into whatever it is. We commit to ourselves a lot of times by doing whatever makes us happy. But, and another example of commitment, you know, you call it college football fans, right? And the word commitment nowadays, if you think about what that means, there's really not a lot of weight in that, right?
Right.
These kids, they will commit to a school one day. Well, something's not going their way. They're not happy anymore. The very next day, what happens? They're gone, right? They're uncommitted, okay? So what I'm trying to get us thinking about here is how the world looks at commitment, okay? And so now we have to take a look at how Christ looks at commitment.
Amen.
So the world's definition and perception of commitment is totally different than what a commitment to Christ looks like. So how do we show our commitment to Christ? We show our commitment to Christ through our obedience to his commands.
Amen.
All right, so in the book of James, James 1 and 22, very familiar passage of scripture here, it says, be doers of the word. Okay, so what does it mean to be obedient? You might define obedient with to comply with an order, request, or law, or submission to another's authority.
Mm-hmm.
So when we get to thinking about that, another's authority, and we go back up to commitment where it talks about that definition was restricts freedom of action. We're not control of ourselves anymore, right?
Oh,
we are not our own anymore. And the Bible speaks to that in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 19 through 20. And I apologize, we're going to be all over the word today. And I sent Brother Bill a list of the scriptures that I was going to be covering today, and it was 26, okay? Look, I don't expect y'all to be flying through your Bibles and trying to get through all 26 scriptures, okay? But we're going to be covering a lot of ground, so y'all just hang with me, okay?
Yep.
1 Corinthians 6, 19 through 20, where it talks about we're not our own anymore. It says, "Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own?"
Amen.
Verse 20 says, "For you were bought at a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's."
Amen.
All right, so two takeaways from that passage of Scripture there. Number one, it says we're not our own. So if we're going to be committed to Christ, we're relinquishing that control, right? It's not ours anymore. And then we go to the end of that in verse 20 there where it says, "You were bought with a price." Okay? So we're not our own anymore if we're going to be committed. All right? So in talking about obedience in John chapter 14, 15, Jesus says, "If you love me, keep my commandments."
Yes.
So that's kind of a straight to the point verse of Scripture there, right? There's no gray area in it. It's black or white. If you love me, keep my commandments. That's the words of Jesus.
Amen.
Okay, 1 John chapter 2, verses 3 through 6 says, "Now by this we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He who says, 'I know him,' and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. He who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked." So very strong words there. Very strong words there. Okay, so this validates whether or not we belong to him, right? Whether or not we keep his commandments. Whether or not we love him. Okay? Now, it's not insinuating that that is how we are saved, right?
Amen.
Okay, so Ephesians 2 through 8, we all know this verse of Scripture here. So it says, for by grace you have been saved through faith,
Amen.
That not of yourself is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. So, you know, that was the gift of God, and he afforded us this grace and this mercy. But in return, as a result of that, we're obedient to his commands. We do what he says, and that's how we show our love for him.
Amen.
Okay, so he's on record for how much he loved us, right?
Amen.
Okay, all we have to do is look to the cross. The question is, do we love him? Okay, so he was fully committed to us when he went to the cross for us. If we say we love him and do not keep his commandments, do we truly love him? The Bible in 1 John 2, verse 4 says, no. Okay, so our obedience to him is a great indicator of if we truly love him and are committed to him. Okay? All right, so let me give you a little bit of example of that, okay? So me and Brandy have been married for 18 years, right? In August, is that right? Okay.
Not very
definitive. Huh? All right, so hear me out on this. Okay, so look at this way. On Sundays, I tell Brandy I love her. I just, you know, hug her, kiss her, cuddle up to her, do all the things, serve her, okay? Monday rolls around. I do none of that. Tuesday rolls around. I call Brandy. Okay, maybe 10 minutes. Okay, Wednesday rolls around, don't see Brandy, don't talk to Brandy. Thursday, maybe a 5-minute conversation. Friday, nothing. Saturday, nothing. But Sunday rolls around, and here I come.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm doing all the things that I did last Sunday. Okay, I'm all in, right? I'm balled in. I'm committed to Brandy on Sunday. Okay? How would that hold up in the long run? You think I would have made it 18 years?
No.
No? Okay. All right, so let's talk about what that looks like in our commitment to Christ. Okay? If I'm only committed to Christ on Sundays, when that's the thing to do, is get up and come to church, okay? That's one thing, but what about Monday when it rolls around? Does Jesus hear from us on Monday? Do we give him our all on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday? What do we say at Man Church a lot? No days off.
No days off.
Right?
Amen.
Okay, so that's how serious this commitment to Christ is. It's not something that we put on Sundays or Wednesday nights or when it's convenient for us, okay? It's something that we have to have that daily commitment, and he's got to come before everything, okay? My commitment to him has to come before my commitment to Brandy.
Right.
Okay?
True.
That's the way that God designed it. That's the way that what the Bible says to do. Okay, moving on. Brother Bill says we got to be here by 2 o'clock. All right, so true commitment is vital for every person who has accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior.
Right.
So there's a lack of commitment to Jesus in many lives who claim to be with him. So we cannot continue to live as our former selves once we come under the authority of Jesus. Okay, so that all goes back to that 1 Corinthians chapter 6 where we're not our own anymore. Okay, in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, 17 says, "Therefore come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you." Okay, so we're to be called out. We're to be different from the world. The committed Christian is. Okay, so we don't always live out what we say, but we always live out what we truly believe.
Right. Wow.
Okay, Romans 12, verse 2 says, "We're to be transformed." It says, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind,
yes,
that you may prove what is that good and an acceptable and perfect will of God."
Amen.
Okay, so it's impossible to live as we once were before we encountered Christ, if we're truly committed to him. Okay, so we've talked about this a lot in Man Church too, you know. When we encounter Christ, if we truly encounter him and he doesn't change us, he's not the problem.
Right.
We are. Okay?
Amen.
It all goes back. Do we love him? Are we committed to him? Are we obedient to him? All right, so let's turn to Matthew chapter 7, verses 16 through 23. Matthew chapter 7. In verse 16, the Bible says, "You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you will know them. Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven.
Amen.
Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.'" Amen. All right, so someone who is truly committed to Jesus will bear good fruit. Okay, a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. That word "cannot" means it's not possible.
Amen.
Okay, a good tree cannot bear bad fruit. Okay, so we have to take inventory of what kind of fruit we are bearing.
Amen.
All right, so look at verse 19 in that passage of scripture we just read. It says, "A bad tree," meaning producing bad fruit, "is cut down and thrown into the fire." So it's not useful to God. Okay, so it's done away with. There's no commitment there. Verse 20, where it talks about, "Therefore, by the fruits you will know them," there will be evidence of being a follower, a disciple of Christ, and someone who is committed. It will be in the fruit. And then going down to verses 21 to 23. Very familiar passage of scripture, and one, to be honest with you, that when I was growing up, and any time I read this, you know, it's kind of scary words that are spoken there. When you hear Jesus say, "Depart from me, I never knew you," you know, that's scary to think about. Okay? But looking at that, it's a picture of someone whose lips may be saying one thing, but their actions and everything they're doing are something else. There's really no true commitment there,
wow.
You know?
Wow.
So it all goes back to that. You don't always live out what you say, okay? But you always live out what you truly believe. Okay? John 14:15, we'll go back to that again. If you love me, keep my commandments. There's action in that. All right, so 1 John chapter 2, verse 17. It talks about the world is passing away along with its desires, but whoever does the will of God abides forever.
Amen.
Key word being does.
Yep.
Okay, Ephesians 6:6. Not by the way of eye service as people pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. So why are we doing what we're doing? What is our intent? Okay. The will of God for our lives is obedience and sanctification. All right, 1 Thessalonians 4:3 says, for this is the will of God, your sanctification. So, you know, when you go to Christ and you ask him to save you and become your Lord and Savior, well, that begins your walk, right? So that begins the sanctification process, okay? So we're becoming more and more like him, okay? So that journey never ends, okay? The sanctification process until God calls us home, okay? So it's a process of every day of obedience, sanctification, until one day there's glorification, right? So it's a never-ending process. But sometimes we get hung up in that sanctification process, okay? We get stalled out.
Right.
All right? So the question being, why are we getting stalled out? Are we living being held by the passions of the world, or are we living to be sanctified by the holiness of Christ? Okay? So are we more worried about what makes us happy, or are we more worried about us being holy?
Come on. Amen.
All right, so let's go to Acts chapter 19 and verses 11 through 16. So this is a picture of someone who knows Christ, a picture of a committed man in Paul. Chapter 19 of Acts and verse 11. And the Bible says, now God worked unusual miracles by the hands of Paul, so that even handkerchiefs or aprons were brought from his body to the sick, and the diseases left them, and the evil spirits went out of them. Then some of the itinerant Jewish exorcists took it upon themselves to call the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, we exorcise you by the Jesus whom Paul preaches. Also, there were seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, who did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? Then the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them, overpowered them, and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. Okay, so the question that we're going to take away from those passages of Scripture is, do the demons know who we are? Okay, someone who is uncommitted to Christ, the demons are asking the same question. Who are you? Who are you to be speaking the name of Jesus?
Right?
So are we so committed to Christ in our obedience and sanctification that there is no denying we belong to him? Okay, so someone who is not truly committed to Jesus can use the name of Jesus all they want, but if they're not empowered by the Holy Spirit or they don't know Jesus, it does no good.
Right.
Okay?
Amen.
It does no good. All right. Moving on to the third point here, we're going to talk about more fruit and fruit of our obedience. Okay, so we've all heard the phrase, term, verse of Scripture here that says you reap what you sow, right?
Right.
All right, so the fruit of our obedience will manifest itself in our lives because of the fact that we encountered Christ and he transformed us. Okay, so that changes everything. That transformation when we encounter Christ, we're changed, okay, through that process of sanctification. It's a continuation. So again, we'll make mention that if we don't change, he ain't the problem, we are.
Right.
All right, so that brings forth some questions. Does it matter what we do or how we live our lives? Some of us say, it don't matter what other people think, right? You may want to hold up on that,
right.
Okay? The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5 and 20, we are ambassadors for Christ.
Amen.
All right, so if we claim Christ, there is a whole world out there that is looking at you, wondering what the difference is between you and them if they're an unbeliever and you claim to be and you carry the name of Christ, okay? They want to know what the difference is, okay? So it does matter what we do. Does it earn us salvation? No. Does it prove it? Yes. Okay. So why are we not committed to Christ sometimes? Not all the time. Well, it's a difficult thing. One, we have to deny self. Okay. Self wants what it wants, and it wants it now, right?
Come on.
Okay.
Amen.
We have to die daily.
Right.
We talked about in man church a lot of times. We're hard to kill, right? Okay. We got to love others, serve others. And when you think about all that, that really eliminates us. There's no room left for us.
Amen.
Okay. So think about that. When Jesus went to the cross, it wasn't about him, was it?
Nope.
He wasn't thinking about himself, right? He was thinking about everyone that he ever died for. Okay. 1 John 3:6 says, no one who abides in him keeps on sinning. So do we commit to sin in our lives over commitment to Jesus? James 1:14 says, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away by his own lust and enticed.
Right.
Okay, so, you know, a lot of times we'll give the devil more credit than what he deserves as far as, like, you know, we'll blame him for why we did what we did, okay? But the Bible says here a lot of times we're drawn away by our own lust,
right?
Okay? So if we give into sin or over flesh, let me back up. If we give into sin or our flesh over our commitment to Jesus and his authority, Jesus said, you're doing that because you don't love me, okay? That's what the Bible says. Jesus says, if you love me, you will obey me. All right, so true commitment is a challenge. Something that is challenging is often difficult and requires mental and physical effort. All right, so a question for the men, a lot of times, why are men okay with accepting less in their spiritual life when we're not in everything else?
Amen.
Everything else we want number one, right?
Mm-hmm.
We want to be first place in, you know, our sports, our jobs, or whatever. We want first place, and we're not satisfied with anything else. So let's think about our walk with Christ.
Amen.
Why do we not look at that the same way? Okay? So if we are truly committed to Christ, it will not come without challenges.
Amen.
Matthew 7, verses 13 and 14, we'll go back to that book of Matthew. Chapter 13 and 14 of chapter 7, Jesus says, enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who will go in by it, because narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. So right up front, Jesus is telling us, you know, look, this relationship that you have with me, this commitment that you have to me, it's not going to be easy, and few are going to find it.
Wow.
Okay? So I don't think that we should expect any less as far as our walk goes as to where we would think that this is going to be an easy process. But with him, we are able.
Amen.
Okay?
Yes.
All right, so challenges may include ourselves. We've talked about that, Luke 9:23, and denying ourself. Jesus said in Luke 9:23, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Other challenges may include others. 1 Corinthians 15:33. Do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. Okay, persecution. John 15:20 says, remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they also persecute you. If they keep my word, they will keep yours also. Okay? Tribulation. John 16:33 says, you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world.
Amen.
These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have tribulation. Okay? So this commitment to Jesus requires us to be bold, because it is totally against what the world says or tells us how to live. All right, so the world says to serve yourself, do what makes you happy.
Right.
Jesus said, serve others. In Mark 10:45, it says, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many.
Mm.
All right, the world says to take. Jesus says to give. In Luke 6:30-31, it says, give to everyone who asks of you, and from him who takes away your goods, do not ask them back. And just as you want men to do to you, you also do to them likewise. The world says love if. Jesus says love unconditionally.
Amen.
Romans 5:8, but God demonstrated his own love toward us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So we did nothing to deserve his sacrifice and did nothing to deserve his love.
Amen.
And thankfully, he did not love like we sometimes fall short in loving others. Okay?
Right.
We're to love unconditionally. All right? So obeying, following his commands, because he is the standard. And that's a high standard, right?
Yep.
Okay? But it will lead to a bold life that will be blessed. Being filled with the Holy Spirit and emptied of ourselves will help us to have a bold life. So without commitment, there is potential for our relationship with Christ to fall apart. God never calls us to a standard that he does not empower us to achieve. The question is are we committed enough to access the power that has been afforded to us? All right, so when we are given the power of the Holy Spirit, like what happened in the book of Acts, it's a game changer, okay? So here's the key. This is what empowers us to be able to live this Christian life, okay? John 16:7, where Jesus says, it is to your advantage that I go away.
Mm-hmm.
For I do not go away. If I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you.
Hallelujah.
All right, so the power is always available to us and will enable us to be bold, and our commitment to him will be solidified. So too often we dumb down this commitment, okay? We live like that we are pre-Pentecost, okay? Before we had access to the Holy Spirit, and we come up with these excuses, okay? That's where we get into trouble with things such as excuse making and grace abusing. I can't. Well, you're partially right. You, on your own, can't, but you, empowered with him, you have no more excuses.
Amen.
Okay? In Acts chapter 2 and verses 1 and 2, this is the coming of the Holy Spirit. Acts 2, 1 and 2, where it says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And so from that point on, it was different,
yep.
Right? Okay, we had all the power that we would ever need if we accept it, if we use it, decide to use it, okay? So I'm going to give you a couple of examples of two people in the Bible, very famous people in the Bible, and how they was before and how they was after. Okay, so John and Peter. Everybody's familiar with those two, right?
Right.
All right, so John, before the coming of the Holy Spirit, he ran so fast he ran out of his clothes away from Jesus.
Mm.
And Peter famously denied Jesus three times, right? Peter actually cursed the name of Jesus. So, two men who, before the coming of the Holy Spirit, showed no signs of boldness at all, right?
Right.
Okay? Now, let's see what happens when they are filled with the Holy Spirit. Okay? So just keep in mind, we're not to liken ourselves to Peter and John pre-Pentecost. That's not the standard. Pentecost forward in the church age, which we're in right now, that is how we're supposed to live our lives. All right? So let's go to Acts chapter 4 and verses 8 through 20. Acts chapter 4, 8 through 20. All right. Bible says, "Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day are judged for a good deed done to a helpless man, by what means he has been made well, let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands here before you whole. This is the stone which was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved.
Amen.
Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled. And they realized that they had been with Jesus. And seeing the man who had been healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they confirmed among themselves, saying, what shall we do to these men? For indeed, that a notable miracle has been done through them is evident to all who dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But so that it spreads no further among the people, let us severely threaten them that from now on they speak to no man in this name. So they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard.
Amen.
Don't sound like there's much denying going on anymore, is it?
Nope.
Okay? He is bold, like the Holy Spirit empowered him. He is pretty much in their face telling them what the situation is now, okay? So Peter and John, under this new standard, being filled with the Holy Spirit, okay, they see this crippled man and he's begging, asking them for money, and they told him, silver and gold we did not have, but what we do have, we will give you in the name of Jesus, stand up. All right, so they are being questioned about this. Before the Holy Spirit, they were questioned and they cowered.
Right.
Okay? Peter and John once denied and ran from Jesus and are now bold and committed now that they are filled with the Holy Spirit. So they're talking to these religious leaders that reject Jesus as Messiah, calling them out, saying in verse 10, you crucified him. Verse 11, you rejected him. Okay, but he says, but let me tell you something. He is the chief cornerstone, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Those are bold words and a bold stance to take, okay? And some takeaways from this passage of Scripture here is they were uneducated and untrained men. It all goes back to that excuse-making that we make sometimes. I can't do this. I can't do this. I don't have the ability. If we're empowered by the Holy Spirit, the excuses are, we can't use them, right? Okay? So he is telling them who Jesus is, and they were empowered by the Holy Spirit and 100% committed. All right, so when they made this comment, they were inviting trouble into their lives, right? Okay, they could have been seriously persecuted, maybe even put to death.
Right.
Okay, so that's something that we have to think about. Are we okay? Are we comfortable with inviting trouble into our lives just for where we speak Jesus? Okay, is there anywhere where we wouldn't speak his name? Question is, are we still in? Okay. Verse 13, it says they recognized that they had been with Jesus. Can others say the same thing about us? Do people recognize that we've been with Jesus? All right, now down to verse 18, they said, you have given us the speech about Jesus, but you better stop talking or it's going to be bad. Mm. All right, same men that ran from Jesus and denied him, now their standard of commitment has changed forever, and it's extremely high. Okay, they didn't back down. Okay, it says, but Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than God, you judge, for we cannot but speak the things which you have seen, which we have seen and heard. Amen. They were so filled with it that, you know, they didn't care. Okay? They may be threatened, but at the end of the day, the cause for Christ, their commitment to Christ, triumphed whatever threats may come against them.
That's right.
Okay? So, in verse 29, on further down there, where it says, now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word. Mm-hmm. So they didn't pray that threats would, but they know the threats are coming, and they know they're not exempt from being threatened. But when the threats come, they pray that they will be committed and they will not fail Christ or embarrass Christ and to bring on the threats. Same people that deny Jesus and are sold out are committed to Jesus. So this is our standard post-Pentecost in the church age.
Amen.
So if I speak boldly of Christ, my commitment to him could cost me a lot of things. And that's where we will run into a roadblock sometimes, you know. It could cost you relationships with your family. It could cost you your job. It could cost you your life. There's tons of people that outside of this country that are being persecuted daily,
right,
for speaking Jesus and for their relationship commitment to Jesus. Okay? Losing their life. Friendships, money. If all those things were in jeopardy, would we stay committed? So often we are not all that committed to Jesus because it hasn't cost us anything. So whether we lose for the cause of Christ, whatever we lose for the cause of Christ will not compare to what we gain.
Amen.
Okay? He is worthy of our commitment. Okay? So that's where I kind of end that there. So going forward, the question is, are you committed? Okay? Or are you just interested? In order to be committed, first of all, you have to have somebody to be committed to. Okay, and that somebody is the Lord Jesus. Okay, and he offers that to anybody. Okay, we just have to be willing to come to him and ask him. Okay, so that begins that process, asking him, accepting him as Lord and Savior. Okay, so if that's you, good news is he's there.
Yes,
he's always there. He's ready for you. His arms are stretched open wide. Okay. All you have to do is take that first step, okay? And then the process begins. Sanctification, obedience, okay? So it's a walk, okay? So maybe you're already one of his, okay? But you realize that maybe there's been a lacking of commitment, okay? Good news is that can change today, okay? It's just if that car has been stalled out in neutral, all you got to do is put it back in gear.
Come on.
Okay? And start your walk again.
Yes.
Okay? So whatever your situation is, he's here, and he's just a prayer away. Okay? So you just have to take that first step, and he'll take you the rest of the way, and he'll guide you if you will let him. Okay?
Thank you, Brother Chris. Wow, what a convicting message. I'm going to lead us in prayer. Thank you. I just want you guys to consider just a few of the things that Chris has talked about. First of all, having a relationship with the one that can make a difference in your life. It's only Jesus. Say, it's only Jesus. It's only Jesus. Secondly, if you want to move forward in your relationship with God, guess what? It's only Jesus. Say, it's only Jesus. It's only Jesus. So today is an opportunity for us to put some feet to the message that Chris has shared with us. If you've been looking for a relationship with God, and you haven't made that declaration that Jesus Christ is the Savior, that you want him to be the Lord of your life, as Chris said, today is your day. But moreover than that, there are probably many of us here who are, as Chris said, stalled. Maybe a little stagnant. Maybe just haven't been doing what we're supposed to do. Haven't been using what God has given us. Today is a day to end that and to move forward and to ask God to take over and to put you back in gear. Amen. So I'm going to pray for us, and then we're going to immediately go into praise. But you listen to what God has said to you through these words. This is a word from God, and we're thankful to have had it this morning. Let's pray. Father God, it is an amazing blessing that when the word of God is preached, it always seems to find a dwelling place in our hearts. But Lord, whether we do anything with the word that has found its dwelling place there is completely up to us. Father, I pray if there is even one, Lord, who is out of fellowship with you, that does not have a relationship with you, and wants to put a period at the end of that sentence, that, Father, they would come to Christ today, knowing that you are a request away, just receiving the gift of God, Jesus Christ. Father, they can come to that relationship with you that will never, ever fail. But, Lord, for those that have already come to Christ, they've already come into this relationship with you, but perhaps they've been wavering, perhaps they've backslidden, perhaps they've been struggling, perhaps the burdens are too heavy. Lord, perhaps they've just been disobedient, perhaps they're in a season of rebellion. Lord, hey, I've been there, Lord. I'm speaking about myself, places that I've been. Lord, I praise you and I thank you, Lord, that we are just a prayer away from coming back into fellowship with you. If we'll just relinquish control, not letting self dictate what we do, not letting others dictate what we do, not letting a lost world dictate what we do, but let the Lord, our God, our Creator, our Master, our Savior and Deliverer dictate what we do. So, Lord, I pray you would have your way and your will in all of the folks that are here today. Father, I just stand believing that there's probably a decision for each one of us to make today. I know there is for the man who's speaking. I know that I need to dive deeper with my Lord. I know I need to be more obedient. Lord, I want to reflect my love. I want to show more of my commitment. And so, Father, I know that that if the pastor does, if one of the deacons do, if one of the teachers do, Father, if anybody does, then that means we all do. Yes. So, Father, I pray you would have your will and your way. Lord, let this time not only be about self-relationship with you, not only about further sanctification, but, Lord, also that we can come to the foot of the cross, taking the burdens that we've been trying to carry and just relinquishing them there at the foot of the cross. Lord, your shoulders are much bigger than ours. You are much stronger than we are. And so, Father, I pray that for any burden that needs to come before in prayer tonight or today, Lord, that you would just do a supernatural work within us. Have your will, have your way in each one of us today. In the high and holy name of Jesus, we pray, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. Let's stand together.